Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork. But somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule. Automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. RX only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Hello and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH and 96.5 TIC. Our guest today is Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont, who not long ago announced that he's seeking a third term in Connecticut. We're going to talk with him about his campaign and some of the top issues that people are talking about as they face the state of Connecticut. Welcome to the show, Governor. Good to have you.
Hey, good morning, Morgan.
Thank you for coming on. Look, Governor, you've been in office now for two terms. You're at 72 years old, and it's a time when some people might be saying that they're looking forward to retirement or doing something else, but you're saying that you're looking for a third term. Why is that?
72 years young, and I think we're just getting started, Susan and me. We've come a long way, and I just want to make sure we get over the finish line. You know, we inherited a state that was, you know, a fiscal mess, and we've had seven balanced budgets in a row and had honestly balanced budgets that allowing us to invest in the future and pay down pensions. A lot of pressure to turn back on that. Time for something different doesn't mean go back to the way we used to do it. You know, we're just starting out on our first steps towards universal early childhood education for all of our kids. You know, we have a $300 million down payment on that. I want to see that get over the finish line. Housing, you know, we have one of the faster growing states in the country now, you know, at least the last couple of cycles. And the only thing holding us back is places for people to live. And if you're not serious, you're not serious about affordability unless we get more places for people to live. That's workforce housing, affordable housing, bring our towns and cities back to life in the downtown areas. So those are some big priorities.
If we think back to your first term for a moment, COVID ended up reshaping so much of your early years of the administration, and necessarily so. Do you feel that that was a hindrance, something that slowed your progress, and now that's another reason why you're looking for a third term?
Well, it definitely put a stop on everything, and everything from economic growth and some of the momentum we were trying. And that was, you know, that was not just a one-year cycle. But also, I think, Morgan, Connecticut came out of it, you know, better than most. We kept our schools opened earlier, our parks and beaches open. We had a lot of visitors, you know, later on came into the state. A lot of them stayed. And I think that was, in many ways, people getting a second look at the state of Connecticut. But it did definitely slow up a lot of the momentum there for a year or two.
If we think about that first term, the president then was President Donald Trump, and the president now, as you're in your second term and head into a third, is also President Trump. And compared to some other Democrats just monitoring what's happening in other states or what other politicians have to say, at times you've taken a more moderate approach to dealing with ideological differences or clashes. And I'm reminded of the conversation you had with former Governor Jody Rell, a Republican. You had a conversation called Civility in Politics. Why do you feel that your approach with the Trump administration then and particularly now is a sensible one?
I think we all play slightly different roles. And Senators Murphy and Blumenthal, they push back very strong, as well they should. We've got Attorney General William Tong has sued the White House probably 35 different times because he's tried to yank well over $1 billion of authorized funds away from us and have won many of those cases. Look, I've had to stand up when it comes to ICE. I've had to stand up when it comes to a revolution wind, when it comes to, you know, fighting for our people. But you're probably right, Morgan. I don't talk about Trump as much as some of the other folks. And I talk about how do we save the folks who are about to get kicked off of health insurance. And then I'm able to call sometimes not just Democratic governors, but Republican governors. If you don't make it all about Trump, sometimes you can, you know, make a little progress there. You know, Medicaid, at least we delayed that so-called billion-dollar cut for a year, and we'll see how that sorts out. So I try and get a balance right, but when it comes to Connecticut values, we're standing tall against everything I see coming out of Washington. Our budget is the opposite of his. Like I said, he's, you know, they're addicted to debt down there in Washington, starting with him and creating a hole for future generations, cutting back on early child care, cutting back on health care, the opposite of the things we're trying to do in Connecticut. So I'll let my actions speak louder than words.
If there's any one thing in particular with that approach of yours, is there any one thing in particular that you're trying to get out of the Trump administration, or is there some level of middle ground, some kind of agreement between a Democratic state and a Republican administration that you would say would work for the state of Connecticut?
I'll give you two examples. I was down talking to Health and Human Services just last week, and I've got to bend the curve on health care costs. It's breaking the budget for our families and our small businesses, and it's not very good for the state of Connecticut budget either. And, you know, there, if we can get some of that most favored nation, you know, pricing for pharmaceuticals available for the state and available for Medicaid, that's what we talked about, make a difference there. And secondly, energy costs. He's not much help on energy costs. He puts tariffs on, hydro coming down from Canada, and he keeps trying to shut down wind power. But that said, we're trying to work with him in terms of our agreement with Millstone, the nuclear power plant. And if we can get some guarantees there in terms of new modular nukes or ways that we can continue that contract, that makes a big difference. So we fight when there are things to fight about. We try and work together sometimes when we can.
I'm Morgan Cunningham, and this is Face Connecticut, if you're just joining us, and we're talking with Governor Ned Lamont as he seeks a third term as governor of Connecticut, talking a little bit about Washington, but shifting back a little bit to Connecticut topics here, Governor. Your opponents have been critical of state spending to backfill federal cuts, things that have been cut or are expected to be cut from the Trump administration. Republicans have said, and some Democrats have agreed, that Connecticut cannot backfill these cuts for a prolonged period of time. It can't be sustained forever with just state dollars. At what point does Connecticut say it cannot financially or even physically support some of these initiatives and either make cuts or change some kind of direction to support those continued initiatives?
So, Morgan, unlike many of our other states that are, you know, facing a deficit, and when President Trump's budget, you know, cut the heck out of health care subsidies, which is driving up the price of health care for you, and cutting back on food support, driving up the cost of feeding your family, Connecticut, they had to say tough luck. Connecticut was in a different position. We said, look, we've got a one-time $500 million fund, which we can use to backfill not all, but at least some of the cuts coming out of the White House. You know, people were scared out of their wits when they thought their health insurance costs were going to go up $1,000 or $2,000 a month. But your bigger point, Morgan, I can't do that forever. We can't make up all the cuts coming out of Washington, D.C. But and you got to be careful as well. I mean, Republicans and Democrats alike in the legislature are putting forward big programs that would create enormous deficits in the out years. And I take pride in the fact that I inherited a bit of a mess. And we've got that cleaned up. We got a balanced budget. We're making investments. And I don't want to change course on that front either.
You had mentioned not long ago that you were just recently in Washington. My question to you is about a post that was on your social media that you had asked the president about lessons learned from challenges that came from ICE operations in Minneapolis. Could you talk a little bit more about that experience at Exchange?
Yeah, we had a business meeting at the White House. All of the Republicans and most of the Democrats were there. And it's a chance for us to talk to cabinet officials. And the president came in and he gave us a rundown on Venezuela and some things. And then he said, are there any questions? And I got to ask the first question. I just said, look, shutting down the border to illegal immigration, I think, has a broad base of support. But what learning lessons did you have from Minneapolis where, you know, real ICE overreach and violence, I think, has changed the temper? And any regrets? And I didn't know how he was going to respond, Morgan. You know, he could have said, you're never going to see any Medicaid funding again. But he said, that's a fair question. And I'll tell you what I've learned. I've learned that we're not going to send ICE surge into any states or communities where we're not invited. It just doesn't work. And believe me, it didn't work in Minneapolis.
At this point in time, there's a legislative session that's going on that, of course, sets up what is the end of your second term and what would be the beginning of a third term for you if reelected. What are some of the initiatives that you're pushing for that you're hoping lawmakers will agree on and come up with plans to address in 2026?
I want to make sure that we have universal early childhood, starting with pre-K for all of our kids. I want to make sure that we have a free school breakfast so the kids can start off the day right. I think I alluded before in terms of housing and energy, ways that we can bring down costs for people, affordability, make this a place where the middle class is constantly getting squeezed, make it a little easier for you and your family to get by. I come out of small business, do everything I can to keep growing our economy one small business at a time. We've had more new small business startups than we have in many, many years. And that's bringing our downtowns to life, giving people an opportunity. When people talk about the wealth gap, there's nothing better than owning your own home and you know, being able to start your own business. And that's what we're really focused on.
You proposed also what you've called the energy rebate, valued at either $200 or $400, and there are some differences as to whom could get what of those and income levels, et cetera. That's another proposal you've had in the legislative session. One of your opponents, former New Britain Mayor Aaron Stewart, suggested that that was an election year gimmick and that also she argued $200 wouldn't pay for a week of groceries. I want to ask you, Governor, try to get some background on how this came about. How did you arrive at the $200 and $400 rebates? What idea did you have in mind when you proposed that to the legislature?
Well, Republicans in the legislature are recommending billions of dollars of you know, tax cuts, and the Democrats are recommending similar things on the tax credit side that leave enormous deficits in the out years. So I didn't want to let that happen because that's what usually happens in this state. But I also realized, look, we're coming out of a bitterly cold winter. I know how tariffs have driven up the price of food and housing. Or what can we do to help out in a modest way? So I said, let's set aside a $500 million fund. And we're going to make sure that's focused on the middle class to give them some help. You're right. My suggestion was let's mail out a $400 rebate check to folks sometime in the next you know, 5 or 6 months that they would get and they could count on to help pay bills. But maybe people have other ideas as well. Maybe I can provide a little extra support for education, which maybe helps with the property taxes because of the reassessment. But it's a $500 million one-time effort to make sure we know that people, we understand that people are really getting squeezed by, you know, really the tariff-induced inflation and what we can do to make life a little easier.
Another one of your opponents, Governor, is the former New York Lieutenant Governor Betsy McCoy, a Republican, who just yesterday released a plan to eliminate Connecticut's state income tax, something that she's been adamant about, as of other Republicans. And in her outline, she references a plan in Oklahoma, take for example, that requires the income tax rate be cut gradually when revenue levels exceed certain points, say 5%. She also commits to making cuts in state government. And I know that you've been saying before along the campaign trail, show me a plan to pay for this. And so if there is to be an income tax cut, as there was previously under your earlier time in office, what is it that you're looking for to see to support such an idea?
Morgan, when you're a candidate or also when you're a legislator, you can just make this stuff up. Like, I appreciate that John Rowland and Jody Rell ran for office, more than once, each time promising to eliminate the income tax. Obviously, a very popular idea. They came into office. The income tax was 4.5%. Left office, it was 6.5%. They went in the opposite direction. I've done just the opposite. I try and make promises I keep. And I haven't promised that I'm going to eliminate, the income tax, but I have had the biggest middle-class income tax cut the state has ever seen. And I appreciate people say not enough, do more, but I've done it in a way that's sustainable. We pay for it, and we still have a balanced budget.
Governor, let's talk a little bit about electricity, another hot-button issue these days in Connecticut, with the state having some of the highest electric rates in the nation. You've argued previously it's a supply issue. What are some ways that Connecticut could increase supply of electricity to bring those prices down for residents as a long-term solution?
Yeah, that's a great question. I've said it's a supply and demand issue. Politicians say, hey, let's subsidize it more, raise taxes and subsidize it more. I don't like that idea. Some have said, hey, let's move the public benefits charge, which is, how we pay for energy efficiency and nuclear power. Let's move that onto the backs of the taxpayers, going for ratepayers. I don't think the taxpayers, that doesn't work for me. But I'm happy to have discussions about these things. But I need more supply because demand is going up. And so we're bringing down hydro from Quebec, hopefully no tariffs on it. We're turning on Revolution Wind. Really by the end of next month, it starts turning on. That's a big deal. I mentioned previously that we're negotiating with Millstone to see if we can keep going and expand our nuclear power. Remember, 7 years ago, everybody else was unplugging nuclear power. We did just the opposite because we needed that supply to at least hold down costs, at least slow down the rate of increase. And there's no secret, I've also had conversations with the Department of Energy about natural gas as a backup. So we'll see where that goes as well.
Do you think that there's anything else that could be done sooner? The idea of nuclear has come up before. You've mentioned natural gas, but how long does it take to see one of those kinds of projects to fruition? Because as you've mentioned, Revolution Wind, that's taken years, obviously, to build, and now we're at that point where it's going to be coming online. But some of these other forms of energy, even if they're at our fingertips, it can take a long time, whether it's red tape or construction, what have you. So some of these ideas that have been put out there also by other people are going to take time to achieve. How do you balance that when you have people saying that they want relief this month on their bills, but at the same time you're trying to set people up for the next, say, 40 or 50 years?
Start early. We did Revolution Wind very early on, and that is going to have enough power to juice probably 300,000 homes, and that'll be going well before the end of this calendar year. That helps, especially during very cold periods like we had just in the last month, where the price of a natural gas goes up at 5 or 6 or 7 times what we're paying for the wind. So it helps mitigate those price spikes. I mentioned to you what we're trying to do with Millstone, and part of that may be able to get a little more extra power out of the existing agreement we got. That's something we're negotiating with them right now. And don't forget energy efficiency. I like this program. It's a way that I can save homeowners $100, $200, $300 a month, depending on the insulation and ways that we make their house more energy efficient. Something we're doing together.
Another one of your opponents, Republican Ryan Fazio, state senator from your town of Greenwich, has proposed eliminating the public benefits charge or moving it over, what have you. He's part of that school of thought, saying that there's money that's not directly tied to energy within the public benefits charge. So my question to you, Governor, is why should residents continue to get behind the public benefits charge if there's a school of thought out there that says something else should be done with that particular charge on bills?
Well, you got to pay your bills. Like I said, nuclear power is part of that. Some of the power purchase agreements we have is part of that. So the idea that I'm going to eliminate it is just fanciful. The idea that I'm going to move it over to the backs of the taxpayers is something you can do. I'm not quite sure really what it accomplishes. Or you can borrow. Those are the three things. We had a lot of folks, Morgan, that during COVID had a hard time paying their electric bills, so they had arrearages or past due. So I can't unplug those guys back during those tough times. So I moved those arrearages out of the public benefits charge and over to, bonding. Not great, but the idea is, why do we pay for all that over 1 year? Let's at least do that over 20 years. And that's what the bonding allows us to do. Helps a little bit. And if there are other items in the public benefits, I'm happy to discuss. But you're not going to get this stuff for free. There's no such thing as free nuclear power. I will say, to counter that, though, the nuclear power deal is a hedge, and with a high price of natural gas right now, we're making a couple hundred million dollars on that hedge. So that'll help a lot with the public benefit charge now, but you can't count on that forever.
Governor, you have two opponents who are from your hometown, Greenwich. I just mentioned Senator Fazio, but also, who I mentioned earlier, Betsy McCoy. What's that like when the three of you are campaigning, not just across the whole state, but trying to get support in your own hometown?
Look, I live in Hartford these days, and I represent 169 towns, but you're absolutely right. My family, grew up in Greenwich, and we have a house there. I've got my friends. They know me very well. I came up through the system there. I was on the board of selectmen. I was on the board of finance. I was very active in my town. But more importantly, I don't have to make stuff up. I've been doing this for 7+ years now. So people have a pretty good idea of where I stand, what I believe in, what I've been able to deliver, and hopefully they have some confidence I'll be able to keep that going.
Governor, it looks like we're shaping up for what's going to be a busy political season in 2026. What are some of the things that you have planned so that you can connect with people in Connecticut, your constituents, and try to make your case why you should get a third term? What are some things you'll be up to?
Want to know, main thing I'm up to? Doing my job, Morgan. I mean, I've got a pretty busy day job, and I'm not doing as much campaigning as the other folks, but what I like to do is go to a town and say, this is where you were 8 years ago. This is where you are today. This is what we've been able to do together. That's what we've been able to do by even increase funding for education every year that I've been here, increase municipal aid, doing our bit to try and make property taxes a little less burdensome for folks. This is what we're doing to sort of speed up rail service and fix that terrible bridge that slows up traffic near your town. That's what I do. I go around the state saying, this is what your government is doing for you.
I like how you mentioned the bridges. I mean, there are a number of road projects that are underway right now in Connecticut or in the coming years will be addressed, one of them being the Mixmaster in Waterbury on I-84, which has been a problem for a long time, as well as some other notable bridges or stretches of highway in the state. And I know that you travel across the whole state of Connecticut. What are some of the things that you're proposing or that you're backing as far as transportation in the state as you look for a third term, a few more years in office?
Well, look, thanks to that bipartisan infrastructure bill from 4 years ago, and President Trump's team is honoring their commitment, at least to the state. They're pulling funding in New York and New Jersey and other places, but not here in Connecticut, which I appreciate. I think we're going to be able to take 5, 15, 25 minutes off your commute over a period of time. I think we'll be able to fix up a lot of those exits and entrances that seem to slow up traffic on 95 and 91 and the other majors. Those old bridges, the rail bridges, they go back to William McKinley. You remember William McKinley, don't you? And they have to slow up. It takes 2 minutes longer to get over there. So you got 10 of those bridges on a, you know, route from New London down to Stamford, we'll be able to pick up the Amtrak service and even Metro North a lot faster.
Governor, I think that there are a lot of people in the audience who are quite familiar with you, who you are, and where you stand on a number of issues. But there are new people listening all the time. So if someone is looking to do more research on you, reading about you, where can they go online or how can they connect with you?
You know, I hate to say it, but go to ChatGPT, go to Perplexity. I mean, I can send you to our website. I can say you can find a ton of information on CT Mirror or Hearst or the Hartford Current. But I think more importantly is talk to folks in your community. Say, think about where the state was 8 years ago. You know, we looked at deficits, $2 billion deficits a year as far as the eye can see. Think about where we are today. And ask people, if you're a newcomer to the state, A, I'm glad you came to the state. I'm glad you're staying here in the state. Glad you're listening to a great radio show. And but ask them, ask folks what it used to be like and how we're doing today.
Governor, I appreciate your time on Face Connecticut with us on WTIC. Let's keep in touch and talk again, okay?
Good talking to you. Thanks, Morgan.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
Nobody gets into maintenance for the paperwork, but somewhere along the way, the clipboards piled up and the spreadsheets multiplied. Good technicians spend hours per day on admin instead of turning a wrench. MaintainX was built to give that time back. Preventative maintenance runs on a real schedule, automated, assigned, and nothing slipping through. With MaintainX, work orders go out in seconds, and everyone from the floor to the front office knows what's due and when. So your team gets back to the machines, not the paperwork. Over 14,000 companies are already running on MaintainX because the people who keep the world running deserve tools that actually work. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com. That's MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.